Welcome to Living India on the BBC World Service. I'm Rupa Jha and I'm taking you back to my home state of Bihar for one last visit, completing a voyage of discovery in the company of four local residents we have been following through the year 2014. Through their eyes and experiences, my aim has been to give you a taste of what it's like for ordinary citizens to live in India today. The idea is to try to understand some of the reasons why India is not yet realizing its ambitions and why so many Indians are struggling to survive despite the headline-grabbing stories of growth and wealth. We have come to Bihar because approaching 10% of the population live here, and a state like this, known for corruption, bureaucratic red tape and poverty, is the kind of place that needs to deliver a far better quality of life for its citizens in the decades to come. Let me do the introductions. There is Anita. In her remote village, she's been risking her limited resources on her children's education, anxiously awaiting exam results for her son.
It was 4 days before I finally found out, and he had failed badly. And you know, he'd known all along. He just didn't want to tell me.
There is Dr. Atul and his doctor wife, Jayashree, in the half-built clinic. They have been struggling with complicated paperwork and officialdom.
Last 3 months has made me an adult. Now I'm more exhausted than experienced.
There is Sunil, our student from a very, very poor, low-caste background. He's trying to offer hope to his family back home.
It's my responsibility to fulfill their hopes. It's my duty. The main thing is their economic condition is no good. The condition of my home is no good. It's not properly built.
But now, he faces the massive challenge of paying for his studies. So, we pick up the story with Anita, 5 hours north of Bihar's capital, Patna. Last week's program was recorded in June, in the searing summer heat, not far short of 50 degrees Celsius, and causing havoc with the crops. We were digesting the fallout after the election of Narendra Modi, with talk of improving the lot of the poor. It's now approaching the end of 2014 and the cooler weather is closing in. But it's a very important time of year in the village for other reasons. Anita is feeling happy because her husband is back on a rare visit and that's put her in the mood to sing. First time when I came to this village, I remember very clearly in February 2014, this place was full of women and young children and no men. Now when I'm back almost a year later, I see so many young men of working age. It's festival time, so obviously they all are back to celebrate festivals with their families.
The presence of a man always feels good. It's nice to enjoy the festival together. I heard this song on the radio. A worker was pleading with his boss to let him go home for festival, just once in the whole year. It's like that for us, but having my husband and family members here during the festival feels great.
It's a rare treat for Anita, because the need for her husband to find work has kept him away for practically all of their 20 years of marriage. He works as an ice cream salesman far away in the big city. Chhat is the biggest festival in Bihar, one of many that punctuate the calendar throughout the year, an important part of the lives of most Indians. The constant fireworks signal a time of hope, even in the face of adversity.
The Chhati goddess gives you whatever you ask for. Even if you aren't able to have children, she blesses you with children. My son had a bad stomach ache. We went to the doctor who told us we would have to have a test done in Delhi. But Chhat was approaching, and so I did the fast and wished for the pain to stop. Since then, he has had no pain. This is the power. I did the same for my husband. He'd been suffering from a strange disease that made his feet swell up.
These are the reasons people celebrate Chhat.
Chhat karai chahi ke lal ja acha.
Nariyal hai, khajuria hai.
There's coconut, dates, pomegranate, radish, sugarcane, sweets. Incense is being lit up. We prepare all this and then after bathing in the river, we give arag. That means we offer it all to the gods. After that, everybody goes back to the house. Then we come back tomorrow.
The family home was full of chhat and chatter. It was nice to finally see Anita with her husband, Peku. We'll hear from him a bit later, but now I want to see what the festivities mean to Doctors Atul and Jayashree back in the city. In the true spirit of chhat that involves racing back to Patna, grabbing a couple of hours sleep and rising before dawn in time to see the sun climb into the sky.
It's 5 a.m. in the morning and this is the final day of this festival chhat. It's amazing to see how streets are clean during these festivals. Patna becomes a different city and hordes of people walking to the banks of River Ganga. It's quite an interesting sight actually. It reminds me of my childhood days when I used to walk up to the banks with my family members.
Surprisingly, the streets were already full of noise as I made my way up to the roof of the building where our two doctors live.
We are all waiting for the sun to rise. That after seeing the sunrise, it's like turning over a new leaf in life, forgetting about the past, learning from the past, but not carrying the hatred forward.
And this connectivity to this festival started 4 years back when I just started my practice and this festival came around. And that time I got this special feeling that I'm going to make a new beginning in my life. As the new rising sun, I have to be the rising sun in my life and gain all the inspirations and strength from the sun god. Chhat is a very, very sacred festival here in which people feel very pious about it, very religious about it, and they feel cleanliness is very important part of it. All the puja has to be done in the best clean hygienic way, and that's how every family is involved, not only the people who are doing chhat but the neighborhood. Everyone gets together to clean the streets, the neighborhood, so that the puja goes, you know, in the best possible way. But unfortunately this feeling lingers only as long as the puja lasts. Once the puja is over, people are back to their usual selves.
It always makes me wonder, if the streets can be clean during festival, why not rest of the year when the place is filthy? It's obviously not only a local government issue, but as Atul admitted, one of mindset too.
But probably I am equally to blame. And I remember the last time my children had chocolates, we pulled down the car window pane and threw the wrapper out to keep our car clean, but the city dirty. People live by the dictum in life, chalta hai, chalta hai. It's okay to live like that. Even if it is dirty, I can always close my eyes and the dirt goes away. I can just pinch my nostrils and walk the dirt. And then again, I can keep my house clean. That's what I have seen. That's how the children have seen their parents. And the grandchildren will see their parents. And this goes on the generations. But things should change. Things should change. Now as you see the redness in the eastern horizon, people are rising up. They'll stop singing. And now we will be pouring Ganga water.
You heard Atul there using the phrase chalta hai, which roughly translates from Hindi as anything goes. Or as he put it, it's okay to live like that. It's a phrase that some feel defines mainstream India. It's why people put up with things, see them as inevitable. There is another keyword, jugaad, or making do, improvising. Many people think these two things are at the heart of being Indian. the DNA of society. On the one hand, this mentality leads to creativity and problem solving, but at the same time, it can lead people to accept their lot in life, meaning putting up with red tape, corruption, or whatever. In the case of our doctors, it means putting up with all those wasted hours spent commuting across the decrepit Ganga Bridge, starving them of precious time with their children. Fortunately, Chhath is a time to put that right and get some rare family time together, playing cricket or football.
When you're stopping a field ball, let your feet follow the ball.
So Jayashree, it's quite a rare occasion to sit and enjoy.
Yes, it's rejuvenating. Sitting, relaxing with my family, watching them play, it's very relaxing.
And obviously you don't get it enough.
Yeah, I don't get it enough. That's true. I wish I could take 1 hour or 2 hours like this every day, but it's not like that. It's our work, our ambitions have taken a toll on our personal lives.
We'll be able to stop the ball.
More making do there in Atul and Jayashree's family. But it affects their work life too. With their ambitious plans of building new clinics or even a general hospital, having to work around endless amounts of red tape. We have to move on now, but we'll hear more about that chalta hai and making do from Atul and Jayashree a bit later. Next, we catch up with an ambitious young lower caste student, Sunil. Hundreds of miles away from festival and completely preoccupied. At the end of the last episode, Sunil had just managed to take another step towards his dream of lifting his family out of poverty by gaining entry to the National Institute of Technology in Calicut in the southern state of Kerala. It ended up being a last-minute dash on a completely crowded marathon cross-country train journey, pulling into town 50 hours after he left Patna Junction.
Train number 16306, Kannur-Ernakulam Intercity Express has arrived on Calicut Station, platform number 1.
This place is such a huge contrast to where Sunil has come from. And what an amazing journey for him and for me as well. I remember seeing him as an 18-year-old, awkward, underconfident Dalit boy. And now here he is amidst the top minds of the country, starting to look confident and all set to take life as it comes.
So today we are going to see some applications of solving differential equations.
And it was time to get down to serious studies.
We'll find out solution of the differential equation. And
spring system ke bare mein bata rahe the ki usme kis tarah reaction.
Today, sir was teaching us about a spring system and how you can derive an equation from it. You have to figure out which force is applied in it, and then with the help of a differential equation, we get the answer.
Differential equation ki madad se maine ki equation derive kar raha
hai. Given IBP.
Sunil was finding it a bit difficult taking all his classes in English, but he was compensating by spending hours back in his room working through equations. He had to shift his bed to make some space to work.
I2C plus I1C equal to 6.78 minus.
People used to say that college would be fun. After all the hard work of 11th and 12th years at school, you will have plenty of time to enjoy. But when I came here, I realized it's tougher. In 11th and 12th, we only had to study. But here, there are lots of problems. Projects, experiments, labs.
Sunil, we are going to do a photoelectric experiment. Now, as you can see from this diagram,
if you are in the physics lab, you will be worried that you have to reach the chemistry lab. Then there is the tension of making projects. If you don't make projects, then 2 marks are deducted. There is a graphics teacher here. He teaches well, but the subject is difficult. Like, if there is even a single mistake, he will tear it up and ask us to do it all over again.
The electron with maximum kinetic energy will be stopped by this voltage, okay?
Now the campus is huge and unlike anything Sunil has seen before. As we walked around, I wondered if he found it at all overwhelming.
No, ma'am, I have to remain in hostel.
No, ma'am, I have to remain in the hostel only. Even on holidays, I have to stay in the hostel. Only for special purposes, I am allowed outside, like to get a haircut. And then I have to take permission from the warden. Only then I can go for a haircut. But I have to come straight back. We even need to take permission to go to the store, and that's actually inside the campus. This is the way it is for first-year students.
To just come out from the hostel.
As we played a board game in the common room, he laughed when I said it sounded a bit like a jail.
And jail hai ye.
Jail hai.
Yes, but you can see movies, listen to music or play games with your friends within the hostel in free time. You see, they think first-year students are far from home and lack awareness. There are things like ponds and lakes around. Anything might happen, any dress day. They want to protect students.
Bachcho kahi protection kar sakte hain.
Sunil seems to be visibly growing up in his new environment. His engagement with serious stuff like politics seems to be picking up too. He's been watching the performance of Prime Minister Modi since his election.
He's still an inspirational leader for me. I like him even now, like for the kind of stand he's taking on terrorism. He's even taking care of students. He's bringing in a loan scheme for them so they can easily borrow money to study. I even like this.
And he could do with that loan scheme himself. Before I left, we sat in his small shared room, listening to music on his roommate's phone and talking money.
I am a little tensed about how will I manage 2,500 rupees for my monthly expenses. Talking about studies, if I get tense, I will just work hard day and night. That's not a problem at all. But money has to come from somewhere. Suppose if I ask my family to pay and if they are not able to pay then, I keep thinking about it.
It's about $40 a month. But think how much of a financial burden Sunil is going to have at the end of 4 years. He had to borrow $1,500 for registration. And the interest on his loans is 5% per month. That dream job is going to be a serious necessity.
I do feel at times that it's a huge amount. What if something happens to me in between these 4 long years? Suppose I did it for 3.5 years and then something happens to me, the entire burden will fall on my family. If the entire burden falls on my family, it will be really difficult for them. They don't have a regular income. But until the time I have to pay up, it's okay.
The rain started pouring down as I left the campus. I couldn't help but think of Sunil, studying so hard in his room there. So much responsibility on his shoulders. He is going to apply for some kind of government funding, but hasn't been able to get his papers together yet. Meanwhile, not only family, but many people back in his village, at least those who have lent him money, are waiting to see how things turn out for him. Sunil is a symbol of ambition, but also of how high the hurdles can be and the expectations. Further north still, in Anita's village, I grabbed the opportunity of her husband being back on a rare visit. I wanted to see how he felt about having to live apart. We dragged a couple of bricks over to sit on and chat.
I just keep thinking that if things had been better, then I would have stayed happily with my children. We would have met every day and eaten together. But that's not our destiny. Whenever I see anyone in the city having a good time with their children, eating, going for outings, I long to do the same. I keep thinking about these things. If I would have been educated, then I would have got a better job. I am an illiterate. Good jobs involve reading and writing. You have to do this and write that. But I am an illiterate. I tried a lot for a job. I worked in a sweet shop. I knew the work there, but it's difficult to fulfill all the needs of the job.
That's why he and Anita are so determined to educate their eldest son, Santosh, and why they are so upset that he failed his exams so badly.
Yeah, it hurt. People ask me the result of my son's exam, and when I tell them he didn't clear it, they laugh at me. It's embarrassing.
The afternoon train trundled by, casting a shadow over the village and over Anita's field next to the track. Back in the summer, her crops were being pounded by the sun. I wondered how things had been since my last visit.
The fields of pulses were all flooded. Nearly everything was ruined. Now how will we buy lentils to eat? They're so expensive. It rained continuously for 5 or 6 days. The water level kept increasing and the floods came. The situation was so grave that water started flowing around the house. I went to the lentil field to see what was happening. The water level was really high, up to my waist, and the flow was fast. Aarti, my daughter, and I both went. The water was flowing really fast, but we both somehow managed to get out. Man works to move ahead, but remains behind. That hurts.
A taste there of the attitude towards destiny that is such a strong strand of life for so many people in this country. Typified by the phrase Ram Bharose, which means trusting in God. Anita certainly subscribes to that. But she is prepared to do anything she can to change the lot of the next generation through education.
We were even ready to give a bribe of 12,000 rupees. But Santosh said people would say he's cleared the exam by giving the bribe. He said that he'll study for the year instead. I asked the Chhati goddess to please help us in making our home. And I asked her to help our son and daughter to clear their exams. I'll celebrate it for them only.
As the Chhat fireworks rang out in the air around us, I reflected on Anita's year, dealing with so many extremes. Despite all her investment of time and money, Santosh had not yet delivered the goods. And what of the government that was elected back in May? Power in Bihar actually lies in the hands of a coalition. But Anita told me she thought change was happening because people are becoming more entrepreneurial rather than anything government is doing. At least so far. Her journey is almost over. Those concepts of chalta hai or anything goes and jugaar, meaning improvisation, are ringing loud in my head. Then there's the whole issue of destiny that we have heard so much about too. In relation to all this, my mind returned to something Jayashree and Atul had both been talking about during the festivities. The problem of overpopulation in Bihar and much of India. A form of anything goes that can really limit progress.
Definitely Bihar is overpopulated. Population is one of those things which is keeping the development pace slow. Because whatever development is being designed and planned and executed, it is more than consumed by the growing population. You know, you plan for 5 years ahead and the population grows 2 times in 3 years, then what do you do? So by the time roads develop, the traffic on the roads double. And so it eats away the development. So where there were houses, now there are apartments. That same drainage system which used to cater to 10 houses, now caters to 50 houses because now there are apartments. There are so many more people living in that same area. The infrastructure has not changed. The road is the same. The drainage is the same. The water supply is the same. Everything is the same.
We form the elite of the society, the educated section of the society, and we cannot change. We are struggling every day. We can't change. So over a period of time, it is sad that we are beginning to accept the reality. That is the sad part. And that is why I wonder whether the image of shining India, whether we even qualify to dream of it.
I hope that people like Atul, who put so much effort into trying to provide basic services to the poor, don't give up. And you know, I don't think that is what will happen. Because probably the strongest thread linking all our friends is their extraordinary resilience in the face of obstacles. I hope this journey has given you a sense of what day-to-day life is like in my country, for most people. Having spent months following our friends, what are the images I'm left with? Apart from resilience, I see ambition unifying my four fellow Biharis. Meanwhile, there's a haunting sense that they all, in their own ways, have to stumble through life, not expecting too much, whether it's from officialdom, infrastructure, or the fabric of society. There's a sense of faith that things will work out in the end. It's an endearing feature, but it's also clearly something that can store up problems for the future. Against this, the new central government is certainly talking about reducing bureaucracy and corruption. It's also talking about cleaning up India. But it's that amazing ability to ride over difficulties and keep bouncing back that shines through in all four. The focus for any government clearly needs to be on removing the obstacles people have to clamber over and creating a more enabling environment. But if these four are anything to go by, the will of the people is there. Thank you for traveling this journey with me. I'm Rupa Jha, and my thanks, of course, go to Atul, Jayshree, Sunil, and Anita. I wish them all the very best for the future. Living India is a Beyond Broadcasting production for the BBC World Service. A richer